Some of you may not realize we're in a race. And I'm glad it's not a physical race because I'd be running last. But thankfully, this race is not determined by our physical strength, but by how well we're following the will of God. The Hebrew writer compares Christianity to an athletic race. Most of us are familiar with that from high school track meets and that sort of thing. But he points out some comparisons to those running the race with our Christianity. And so he points us to Jesus as an example to follow in spite of the obstacles that he faced and the obstacles that we will face. First of all, we look at the race course. All who run must enter it, meaning the church for us. No use running on the outside. And of course, we recognize that when people are running in a race, they have to be on the racetrack. And they can't be somewhere else and claim to be running in this race. You've got to be on the course. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. The body and the church, the same thing. So he is the Savior of the body. Those who would like to say, oh, well, you can be saved without being in church. Jesus said no. Paul said no. He is the Savior of the body. He's not the Savior of those outside the body. Just like those can't run the race outside the racetrack, then we can't run the race outside of the church. The course is narrow. Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So a lot of times racers like to go out and run the course, especially something like cross-country racing or something, where they'll know what the course is like. And they'll know where it's narrow and where it's broad and where they need to be running and get a view of the course before they actually run it. And Jesus says, this course is very narrow and few there are who find it, indicating that many are looking. Many think they're on the right track, but they're really on the wrong track. And the course is very narrow. Not many will be saved. That was in response to the question, will many be saved? And Jesus said, no, not many will be saved. And that for us today should be a sobering thought. And recognize that some people said, well, you're too narrow in the Church of Christ. You think only the church is going to be saved. And one preacher said, well, I'm more narrow than that. I don't even believe all of them are going to make it. And so some of us sitting here won't make it. We think we're on the course, but our lives are not consistent with the way we need to be living our lives. And as a result of that, we're running outside the course. And we can't receive the crown if we're running outside of the course. It began at conversion and ends at death. Colossians 1:21-23, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And so when you became a Christian, you entered the body of Christ, then you have to continue on in the faith until death. And so it begins at conversion, ends at death. We never are off of that race course. Some of us may be lagging behind because of age. We can't do what we used to do. even in service to the Lord. But as long as we keep running on the right course, then we're going to receive the crown. And that's a good thing about the race course of God that leads to heaven. All we got to do is cross that line. Doesn't matter if we're the first or the last, we're going to receive the crown. There are some things that are necessary for success if we're going to win this race. A good start is important, but it doesn't guarantee success. I talked to a race car driver once. What they call the short distance race cars. And he said the key is in the start. He said you got to watch those lights, and it goes from red to yellow to green. He said you've got to be quick on that start. And if you're quick on the start, you'll probably win the race. And so sometimes we think a good start is what's important, but that's not the only thing. Galatians 5 verse 7 says, you were running well. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? And so he illustrates that someone was running on the course, but somebody cut them off and slowed them down, kept them from obeying the truth. So if we're going to stay on the race course, we've got to obey the truth. We have to be following Christ on that course and not deviate from it. We must obey the truth. Getting a good start does not guarantee success. We may start off slow, but as long as we make it, that's what's important. The story of the tortoise and the hare that probably we all read as youngsters illustrates this point, that we've got to keep trudging along and not slowing down, just keeping up the pace, and we'll eventually reach that goal. It takes diligence, 1 Corinthians 9:25 through 26. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. And so we know we're on this race. We've got to be on the race. And beating the air is like, practicing boxing. You're just beating the air. You're not getting anywhere. You're not accomplishing anything. And so it takes diligence. You must be temperate in all things, because we're looking for an imperishable crown, a crown of righteousness reserved for us in heaven. And it is not a perishable crown. It is that crown of heaven. It takes self-control, 1 Corinthians 9:25 through 26. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus not with uncertainty. Thus I fight as none who beats the air. Got to be temperate in all things. That takes self-control. And so we have to be able to control ourselves. The Spirit is there to help us to put to death the deeds of the flesh so that we can live righteously before God. It takes proper training, 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, that doesn't mean, as some people in some religious organizations, it meant that Paul flogged himself. And there are people who do that and think they're doing that to please God. He's simply saying he disciplines himself lest he should become disqualified. He disciplines his body. And so we must do that. We must have the proper training and to be able to stay on the course. That's the reason it's important for us to know the Word of God, because that's the rule book for the race. And we have to stay on the right course. And the only way we can know we're staying on the right course is if we are following the Word of God. Then it takes perseverance, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That if we keep doing the will of God, if we're immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, we're going to receive that crown. We can be assured of that. Your labor is not in vain if you keep on. If you're steadfast and immovable on that race. It takes a concentrated effort. In Philippians 3, verses 13 through 14, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Concentrated effort. You know, one thing your track coach tells you, don't ever look back. And I've seen that happen in races where somebody looks back to see who's behind them. And when they look back, that person goes right by them. Because that lack of concentration on the goal kept them from winning the race. And so it takes a concentrated effort. We have to forget those things that are behind, reach forward to those things which are ahead, to reach for the goal of the prize. I press toward indicates a strong effort that is being made, a concentrated effort. And we have to keep focused on that goal and don't look back. Jesus said this, and he basically said, he who looks back is not fit for the kingdom. We look back, we're going to lose our focus, and we may lose the race as a result of that. Then we need to keep our sights on the goal. In Colossians 3, 1 through 4, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And so we have to keep our sights on the goal. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Our focus has to be heaven. Obviously, we live in this earth, and so we have to be concerned about our jobs and our families and all of that. But in all of that, we need to keep our focus on heaven. Even how we relate to our bosses and how we relate to our mates will determine whether or not we're on the right track or not, or whether we've left the track out of disobedience to God in any of those areas. Not just in our Christianity is not based just on what we do in this building. It's based on the way we live our lives with all of the people that we are in contact with. We have a responsibility toward God in all of our relationships. It's not just in our relationship with Him. It's how we relate to others that is important to Him. And so we have to keep our sights on the goal and realize that we must be a Christian in all areas of our lives and not just one. Then we want to consider the hindrances on this race. Sin, Hebrews 12, 1, it was read, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This weight, people run with weights so that they feel lighter then when they take those weights off and they can run faster. I'm reminded of the time we went down the coast and Claire and I walked out in the water. She was probably over her head, but I was up here. And so we stayed out there, I don't know, for 30 minutes maybe or something. And when we came out, it felt like we had a huge weight on us, because that salt water made us feel light. And so it's the very opposite of what this is talking about, but the fact is still there. When we feel like we're weighted down, and then we get free of those weights, we can run much faster. And so that's the idea here, that we need to lay aside the weights, and evidently they used weights way back then to train for running. and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I don't know if you're familiar, we don't have any kudzu around here, don't guess. But that stuff that they say grows 3 feet every 24 hours. And so if you can picture kudzu out there creeping along and you're running this race and one of those vines wraps around you and grabs hold of you, it so easily ensnares us. And it's got us before we know it. And so we need to recognize that sin does that for us. It slows us down. It will eventually even pull us off the course. And we can lose the race. The world is a hindrance to us. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So we've got this constant pull from the world. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. It's a constant pull toward us, trying to tempt us to get off that racetrack. To get away from Christianity and pull us aside. And so we live in a very dark, sinful world. And if we're not careful, we can be pulled off into that sin and that worldliness that will keep us out of heaven. Then the flesh, Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. I've known people that hated the fact that they were on drugs, the fact that they were on alcohol, and even the fact that they've committed adultery against their mate. And they hated themselves for it. And the flesh pulls against us and tries to get us off the race course, to get us off of that track toward heaven. And so all of these things that are lust of the flesh that pull us aside are going to keep us from winning the race. So the flesh is a hindrance to us. Satan is there also hindering us. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. And so Satan can hinder us in many different ways. And we have to be aware of the fact that he is there and that he's behind all of these temptations. And he knows our weaknesses, and he knows how to hit us hardest. And he's going to do that very thing. And so we need to be aware that he there is a roaring lion seeking who he may destroy. And then people can be a hindrance to us. Galatians 5:7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who was it? Maybe your family. I remember there was a man in one congregation I was in, they always prayed, Lord, remove the hindering cause. And I thought about that, and I thought, he really want God to remove the hindering cause? Because many times what hinders us from doing the will of God is family, people we love and care about. We really want them removed? And so, sometimes I hear people say, well, I can't come to church because so-and-so's here. So what are you teaching them by staying home? That church is not really that big a deal, is it? But if you say, well, I'm going to church and I hope you'll go with me. But if not, you're welcome to stay here and make yourself at home. So we cannot let people keep us from doing the will of God. And when we do, we're being pulled off that race course. And then the reward, of course, we got to keep our mind on the reward. That's the reason we started this race to start with, was the reward that's waiting us. The crown of life, James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Remember earlier we talked about it's not a physical crown, not a perishable crown. Well, this was not either. It's talking about the crown of eternal life. We'll be crowned with eternal life. It won't be a physical crown, but it'll be eternal life that we have won as a result of finishing the course. It is a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And so here again, Paul's comparing it to a race. And he says, I finished it. I've kept the faith. And that crown of righteousness, the crown that I receive as a result of being righteous, which is eternal life, of course, we just looked at, will give to me, and not only to me, he said, but to all who loved his appearing. So everyone can finish the course. Doesn't matter whether you're first or last, just finish the course. Stay on that race course. Don't allow yourself to be pulled aside by any sin or problems that you're facing. The abundant life is part of the reward. John 10:1, verse B. I have come that they may have a life and that they may have it more abundantly. And so we have that life that's available to us, the abundant life here on this earth as well as in heaven. And the life more abundantly, I think, indicates to on this earth that we'll be blessed. And that's what we've been studying in the book of Proverbs. If you do what is right, you're going to be blessed. If you do what's wrong, you're going to have problems. And so Jesus said that that life is available to us. It's the best life that you can live here on this earth, and it will bring you ultimately eternal life. Eternal life in Romans 2:6-11. Who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. And so again, this is illustrating the very things that we've been studying in the book of Proverbs. If you do good, God's going to bless you. If you do evil, you're going to face eternity in hell. You're going to be cursed. You're going to have problems. And so we keep focused on that reward. It's the reward that keeps us going. And I used this illustration a couple of times before, but it fits so very well. We went on that 12-mile hike across the top of a mountain in the Rocky Mountains. And we were on our way back. It was getting dark, and we were worn out. My legs were about to give way on me. But I knew that van was up there somewhere ahead of us and that we would make it if we kept going. And so we kept going, and we got there. And so that's the way we keep focused on the reward. We know that rest is waiting for us. And so it doesn't make a difference how tired we get, how worn out we get, rest is ahead. And so we keep trudging along because we know that we will eventually get there. So the Christian race, have you entered the Christian race? We enter the Christian race by becoming a Christian. We become a Christian by repenting of our sins, confessing Jesus as our Lord and Master, and being buried with him in baptism to wash away all of our sins. We can't get heaven with our sins. And so we wash away all of our sins. We're born into then the family of God. That's that new birth, that being born again is baptism. And then we start a new life living for Jesus. We're on the racetrack now. And we just got to concentrate on keeping our eyes ahead and on that goal, not allowing anything to distract us and pull us off of that race course. Are you running with endurance if you are a Christian? Are you enduring all sorts of problems, yet you keep trudging along and not allowing yourself to be pulled off? Are you freeing yourself from all things that hinder your success? Look at the things that are keeping you away from doing what God wants you to do. And recognize that those are the things that are hindering your success, and you need to do what's necessary to stop that hindrance. Are you convicted or convinced that you will finish the race and receive the crown of life, eternal in heaven with God? Is that what your goal is? And do you realize the importance of keeping your eyes on that goal and realizing that you'll have rest at the end of that path? So if we can help you in your relationship with God to see that you are doing those things that are necessary to stay on the course and to ultimately win that race. And that race is not against individuals. You're not competing against anyone except you're trying to keep up with Jesus, trying to be like him. He's our goal. He's what we focus on. And if we take our eyes off of him, we're going to lose the race. Everyone will win. You know, the marathons, the last person coming across, they feel like a winner because they finished the course. And that's all that's necessary for us as Christians, is to finish the course. But if you're not on the course yet, you need to get on it. If you're on it, you need to be sure that you don't have things that are going to hinder you from finishing the course. If we can help you in that in any way today, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.